Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Well, that's what the lady says. Let's get into it. What a weekend it was as far as racing was concerned. I even tweeted on Saturday, even for a hard-headed cynic like me, it was something special on the weekend to be at Rosehill Gardens. Despite that heavy 10, most people thought we would not race whatsoever. So first up on this Monday morning on Punters Postmortem, a big congrats goes out to Chris Toogood, his staff, Lindsay Murphy and all the staff who got that track into a raceable position for what was five Group 1s. And despite that heavy 10 and the track being bottomless, there were some outstanding performances, both by the equines and also by the humans out there. But there was nothing better than Winks 16 straight now, 11 Group 1s in this run of 16 straight victories. It was a magical moment to see the way she blew away her rivals at $1.30. And then the Golden Slipper itself produced so many good stories, but none better than She Will Reign, a $20,000 purchase, ridden by Ben Mellum against the instructions of the trainer in Gary Portelli, defied those instructions, rode it back, cut the corner, railed up, and then just went away for a dramatic victory. It was terrific to see. So much to talk about. We'll get a wrap from all our experts and we'll start taking your calls nice and early on 13 53 53. Don't forget text messages as well. 0419 767 272. Ronnie Duffersey, even a hard head like you would have enjoyed Saturday.
Oh, so many highlights, TK. Yeah. There was, from start to finish, you know, like you've said it all. It was a bottomless track. But still, the good horses won. It was a safe track. It was a really enjoyable day, even considering the circumstances.
That's right. It could have been a miserable day.
Yes,
but it wasn't. You know, it was terrific. It was terrific. Really good. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie. Yeah, well, Slipper Day's just one of those days, TK. And it showed on Saturday. The weather didn't deter people from being there. They had the bonus of not only the Golden Slipper, of course, to see Winks. And just to see, you know, she's bringing people to the races, Winks. And even when it did start to rain, people didn't move. And then, you know, once they got their photo of her and waved their flag and saw her walk past and everything like that, then they went away. So, you know, that was their opportunity to see her. And then, well, I feel sorry for Greg Radley, realistically, because
why?
I don't think he's ever had to endure a post-race celebration like he did on Saturday. I think he did fear for his life there at one stage.
Yeah, well, we met plenty of the syndicate members from Derby Racing on Tuesday morning before the barrier draw as well. And there were, I'd like to say there were some enthusiastic characters amongst the 20 or so members of that syndicate. But congratulations to him, or to them, because it is a great thing about racing. That's what we can see the elite, you know, the sport of kings, and then the battlers do so well as well. And that's what we do love about it. And let's get to our Melbourne expert, Dean Lester. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
Just before we get to the racing, Dino, you'd be happy if Victoria Mark Leishman's come up with a surprise victory in the Bay Hill.
What a beauty he is.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He is a good man, and he's played out of his skin the last four or five holes and got the money.
Yeah, well done to him, well done. What did you make of Slipper Day, Dino?
I loved it. Once it was that you were going to be racing and it was safe, I actually loved the struggle of the wet ground. I thought it was just it just added an extra dimension to the day, and then the purity of Winks. You just had it all.
And, Ronnie, I think you might have, we were all thinking, this is going to be a real slog today for everything. And then that race one, when we saw the two-horse war, they came away. They must have put 10 lengths on the next place getter, which was Allergic, Big Duke and now Century. And that was, you know, that was terrific theatre in itself. We thought, okay, that set the tone for the rest of the day.
100% right. That's what I thought. It's we got to that first race there, and then the two very well-backed runners just singled out there, and then was 12 and a half lengths to the third horse.
12 and a half.
They just went toe-to-toe all the way down the straight, and, you know, every stride you would have thought there was a different winner there, and even when the number went in the frame, there was a different winner, so after a protest. So that was very, very exciting to start the day. And like you said, it continued on from there. It was a nice way to start the day.
Yeah, it was. And we look forward to all that. Did they get the protest right, Ronnie? I can see why they upheld it.
Yes, I can see why they upheld it, but I could see if they dismissed it, I could see why they would have dismissed it. So, like I said, racing's a self-interest sport. If you're on our Century, you'd be disappointed with the decision.
Yep.
If you're on Big Duke, you say, oh, well, it had to be upheld.
Yeah.
One of those, I'd say.
Regan Bayliss, Dino, his star continues to shine.
It does. He went on Darren and he even snuck down to Yarra Valley and won a race yesterday. He's flying along. Adelaide Cup last Monday, the Newmarket on the Saturday before that. He's certainly established himself. I can't remember an apprentice sort of coming out of their time and hit the ground running like he has in the last 2 months.
And how important is that? Geez, that's important.
Momentum's everything. Yeah.
You know, like you get out of your time, you need to ride winners straight away and yeah, you think he'll just keep on going? You think he'll be solid?
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's not a surprise that he's always been a genuine talent, and now that it's all coming together, I think it's an exciting time for him.
Glenn, speaking of Redkirk Warrior, it goes straight into the Doncaster. Have you got a Doncaster market there that you can help us out with?
Yes, TK. I'll just scroll down to the bottom here.
Sorry,
and see
mate.
No, that's all right. But Larry's always here and ready to go. Le Romain is a $6 favourite for the Doncaster.
To be ridden by Hugh Bowman now.
Yes, and he had a chat to Le Romain as he went past him on the turn on day. Le Romain may have not taken that too kindly, but he's going to ride it in the Doncaster. Hauraki is on the second line of betting as an $8 chance. Chautauqua, McCreary and Redkirk Warrior all next at $11. And then you've got Coming Through, Endless Drama, Happy Clapper, who of course won the Newmarket at Newcastle on Friday, and Hey Doc, and they and Palantino are all $15 chances, and then there's quite a few of them at $26. So they're the top 10 or so in the Doncaster.
Now, Dino, just on Redkirk Warrior coming directly to the Doncaster now at $11, you made mention of it in your numbers down the straight there. Stepping up to the 1600 is not easy at the Doncaster. The mile course is very, very testing at Randwick, but it has, it's won first up over 2,000 or something, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, overseas. It's obviously been the plan all along that the trials he had going into the Newmarket were really solid, like they weren't just trot around and have him nice and fresh. He was ready to go, and second up in the spring, he went to 1,500 and beat Stratum Star in the Sandown Stakes. I mean, it's a totally different ballgame than Doncaster, but I think he's a very good horse. I wouldn't be selling him short.
No, well, they've found him well enough in the market now, $11, though,
yep,
I guess.
Well and truly. Yep.
And Coming Through, Duff, it's a $15 chance in the Doncaster. I know the heavy tracks probably haven't helped, but can you stick there or have you given up?
I think I'm giving up. You know, that's a total forgive, anything that ran on that track on Saturday. But he just may have didn't live up to my expectations. I thought he was going to bounce off that spring and, you know, be sort of like a Kermit X sort of horse, but maybe we overread that Carbine Club from Flemington in the spring, and maybe it wasn't as strong a race as we thought this year. Look, it's strong form, but we're talking he has to jump another level to go to a Doncaster mile.
Because he's a half the criterion, everyone's thinking he'd handled soft ground. Is he just a non-wheat tracker?
Big chance.
Because he ran very quick times when he was in Sydney and then the Carbine Club, so maybe he just needs... To show his brilliance, he needs real top of the ground.
Has he got the, Criterion was a big layback colt. He was do anything with him. This horse, does he have the same attitude as Criterion? Is a question mark.
Right. And Happy Clapper, Glenn, it came out Friday up in Newcastle and was victorious for Pat Webster and the gang. So it'll have to be considered again. It could be back to its best form at $15.
Yeah, well, if you had a look at his first up run at Canberra, and then when he settled third and fourth on Friday at Newcastle and he was chasing Chetwood, you say, well, he's going to figure in the finish here after they went 300 metres. And he just absolutely toyed with them at Newcastle. And, well, you know, he's a genuine Group 1 horse, Happy Clapper. And who's to say that he won't be competitive in a race like the Doncaster?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. He's always had a big rap on him. And just talking with Gary Portelli this morning. He's still pinching himself, by the way, Duff, sleeping with that trophy on the bedside table just to make sure he woke up and it wasn't all a dream. But She Will Reign is now spelling and will be set now for the Everest. It's currently in that all-in market at the $11 mark. Chautauqua $6, Winks $8, Astern $11, She Will Reign $11. That's for the Everest, but it's later on this year. But the interest is quite high in the Everest, $10 million.
Yeah, well, there's already 8 slots gone, so there's 40.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a very good sign, considering the outlay. You know, there's a few big players that want to play the game, as we'd say, and let's hope connections like She Will Reign may get a piece of that action come Everest Day. So we're still a way off the Everest. We've got the championships to get through, but it is something to look forward to, that's for sure.
Yeah. So they would not necessarily have to buy a slot. You got to buy it for 3 years at $600,000. So quite clearly, that's at 1.8. It's a fair outlay. They could buy their barrier off anybody really who's already got a 3 year slot.
Look at even James Harron, who's got his own horses. He could go to he's bought a slot. He could go to the connections of She Will Reign and try and do a deal. Say, okay, I want her running with my slot. Here's the action. You get in the race for nothing. You know, you're racing for, I don't know, $4 million instead of $7 million. I don't know.
Much easier to do a deal with a stud if it was a colt.
It doesn't matter. It's big prize money, and it's not black type either. There's no stakes. There's no Group One level put next to it, so it won't go with the horse. The prize money will, though.
Yeah. And Ronnie, can we just go through this story too with Winks? And I know you did it on Sky yesterday as well, but where it was a good little yarn, wasn't it? Where Le Romain led out there, and you know, Glyn Schofield thought, I'm going pretty good here. But just waiting for that noise of Winks to come by, and Huey Bowman got up there on the left-hand shoulder.
Well, she showed so light on her feet, he wouldn't have heard her coming up.
Maybe.
She just was a swoosh as she went past. But apparently you went up beside Glenn, who was looking confident there, and said, cheerio, chap. You know,
cheerio, chaps.
Away we go.
It's a good story.
It's funny.
It's a really good story. And
he's
then
well
now
experienced of that too, having ridden Hayless so many times.
Exactly.
Here we go again.
Oh, it's a good story. It was all.
And after getting back into the room, thinking, geez, it was Winks that beat us on Le Romain. You know, we've still got a good hope in this Doncaster Mile. And Huey says, mate, I got some bad news for you. I've taken the ride off you.
Oh, jeez. that even a bitter swallow. Good, terrific from a racing point of view to see Lee Friedman back training well. Our Ivanhoe winning will now back up into the BMW. But Deeney unleashed a pretty good horse down there on the weekend, Shoals. I think he took it out to Seymour first up, had an easy kill. I think it won by about 4, and then it won quite impressively on the weekend because it was gone.
Yeah, that was the impressive element to it, is that she just dug in for the fight, whether she didn't really get the straight first time because she was struggling, but that last 200 she really dug in. And she's 2 from 2, and as you said, they're training very well at the moment, the Friedman team, and she is probably Sydney-bound as well.
I did make mention on the weekend at the table that, like in the old days, you know, Lee would win 2 races in the space of half hour in different states often.
Yep.
And it would have been a while since Lee has won 2 races in different states in the space of half hour.
Well, 2 feature races anyway. Yeah.
Well, it was a Group 3 in Melbourne, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Blood Horse Breeders, yeah. So, yeah, they certainly they did that in the short period of time. And And an outstanding effort with our Ivanhoe, because he's high maintenance, and they've always said, wait till he gets on a wet track. Well, he got it Saturday and we saw it.
Our Ivanhoe pulled up lame in that race, and he has to be looked at before he can run again.
Oh, he knuckled badly after the line, didn't
he? It happened after the line, didn't it?
Yeah. Yes, but there's no indication from the stable. The latest report I heard, full steam ahead for next week. So, look, he might be an old horse that just tightens up after a run and has to loosen up and cool off again. I don't know. So the vets will have a look at him anyway.
Darren Weir got his first win too. We should point that out. It had to happen on protest. We did talk about race one earlier, Ronnie, but it was good to see Darren break the duck.
Well, it was only going to be a matter of time, wasn't it? It was, the floodgates may open now. The Victorians had a terrific day. They Quinella the first. There was Darren in the third. There was our Ivanhoe, mm-hmm. and the United States running third. There was, there was the Associate Bond run third and run a nice Derby trial, and they had Tulip run well on the slipper.
And huge.
Jungle Edge run well, and the Consommateur was good for them there as well. So they'll get confidence out of the results from Saturday, and they're all invited next week and for the next 3 weeks as well.
Yeah, well, it's good
That's
to see.
That's kind of you.
Sorry, how kind? Well,
I think there's money to be made with Sydney horses in the spring. Yep. And Melbourne horses in the autumn.
Well, how does that work?
Because they've been set for a carnival. You know, the scraps, they're meeting a few scraps there.
Yeah. But Sydney's been set for the carnival as well.
That's
the Sydney horses
are not every horse in the race. Most races, not every horse in the race. They're just Johnny on the spot. But when targets from, interstate come, I respect them. And you'll make money just looking at them and doing the form on them properly.
Yeah, well, Mick Kent's a beaut. Because it doesn't matter whatever the carnival is, wherever it is, Dino, he always produces one particular horse that just gets the job done.
Yeah, he does. He does. I've actually worked out, like, Mick Kent's a very good trainer, don't get me wrong, but I've worked out why everyone thinks he's more astute, because he never talks before a race. So the only time you ever hear him speak, he's just trained to win it. So everyone says every time he speaks, he wins.
You're probably right.
You'd have to do the numbers about strike rate at particular carnivals, but I guess I think he's got a small stable, but he's probably got a bigger stable than I think.
No, he has had a big stable. He's actually right down on numbers now. He has cut back a fair bit, but that... that race he targets, he's placed in it before, and I think Scratchy Bottom won it a couple of years ago. And
A Pingle
placed in it twice. It's a great race to get good black type for a staying mare. So, she's a very much restricted class mare at about 1400 Consommateur, but on wet ground at 1900 she came into her own.
She's the type of mare that could come back and win that race next year.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Let's get straight to our callers. Our experts are all listening to you, Dog Whisperer. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Glenn Munsey. How are we?
Oh, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good start.
Just wanted to ask the ride of Hugh Bowman on Winks. What was his fine for not riding out the mare through to the line?
Yeah. Probably a box of chocolates. I don't know. Obviously, that's tongue-in-cheek, that comment. She just glided to the line, didn't she?
Too easy. Have a good day, gentlemen. Thanks for not answering any of my questions.
Thank you, Dog Whisperer. That was fine. I thought he probably pushed her out even more than he had to. The beautiful thing about watching, it's like watching any great athlete in action, Dean. It's just the lack of effort you think they're putting in when that's not quite clearly the case, like Usain Bolt. But she just... what she can do between the 800 and the 400, that's where she wins a race, I would say, and that's a little bit like what the Diva used to do.
Yeah, and then the icing on the cake, 400 to the 200 in heavy 10 ground, 11.28 for her, so she just put it away. But, I think there's been a lot made, when she was scratching the spring on the wet ground. I think she's a really effective wet tracker. It's just that Chris doesn't want to run her too many times on it because it takes more out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt she's a good wet tracker. She's proven that in the last couple, hasn't she?
I honestly think her last two wins have been her best two wins. They've been unbelievable, the ease at which she's
pulled out pull out the Cox plate again and have another look at that.
But for a horse that they question marks. And tell you what, I think we should keep going and on these heavy tracks, because she's becoming actually nowhere near as bad as she used to be. Because people are now looking to back other horses against us.
Oh, for a result, yeah. Well, hey, boys, TK, what sort of times does Winks run in comparison to the likes of Kingston Town, Sunline? Who do you think would win? Her rating is 133. Kingston Town's rating was 137. I'm not big on the times, Ronnie. Have you?
Not in different eras, different tracks, different...
Different, yeah.
Yeah, days. Maybe if it's the same day we can...
Look, they're all great in their own era.
Of course they are.
But you've got to start thinking she might be the best we've seen.
Each to their own. Oh, she's right there, isn't she? Her Black Caviar and in the modern day, they're our big champions, and she is doing it at all distances, all tracks. Yeah, she's getting to that. Well, she might be at that stage where she's the best we've seen. You know, how far do you want to go back? That's the question, mate.
Yeah, Dino, have you got an opinion? As always.
I'm not comparing her to past eras, but no. She's certainly you know, as dominant as you'd see, and the versatility is the thing I'm loving from 1400.
Correct.
To 2200, wet, dry, left-handed, right-handed. There's no.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of the champs in recent times, as good as they've been, there's been something that they haven't been able to do, and that she hasn't proven that.
That's yet. Right. And Black Caviar, champion sprinter, and that's not her fault. That's just what she was, which is pretty good, 25 from 25, but, you know, wasn't going to be competing over a mile or 2,000 metres.
Just no vices, has she? No vices at all.
Yeah. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Well, thanks, Jim.
You've got to say one thing for our Glenn Schofield. He's turned into a real good cameraman, mate. He's given us good pictures of Black Caviar taken off, and he's now giving us good pictures of Winx. So.
Yes, you're
well,
exactly right.
Have a career afterwards. guys, I've been going the race a long time. I was lucky enough to see Kingston Town race. I've seen some horses with a turn of foot, like Bozam, and there were some other ones that just zip, they could zip away from you. I haven't seen a horse since Kingston Town just change gears, like cruise through a race, and then change gears like that, and just drop a high-class field of horses like they weren't even there. I mean, if you go back, if you re-handicap that race today, mate, she'd be carrying like 65 kilos. They'd be carrying 52, 51. She'd tackling them horses. She just dropped them. You know, you talk about the top echelon. She's right up there. Your Kingston Town, your Tullocks, your Barlett. She's only one tickle away. She wins the Cox Plate the third time. She's there with that real elite level. I mean, horse has got to have a turn of foot, and she's got it, mate. Jeez.
Yeah.
To see a horse just cruise like that and then a zip away, that's just incredible. I've never seen that since Kingston Town.
Yeah, good on you, Jimmy. Well said. She's got a lot, so many. Well, she's got everything going for her, as you mentioned. We run through them, but not only does she have the turn of foot, but she's got that high cruising speed as well.
And she conserves energy. You know, she does know. You don't know how well she's going until Bowman just gives her a little click to pick up his position. She just looks a wonder mare to ride.
Best we've seen, TK, typical Sydney bias. That's just a text that's come in. Look, I don't mind where the horse comes from. It doesn't affect me. You know, if you're a punter, you don't care where they come from.
No.
They've just got to win. As long as they stick their head out, get that nose there first, that's the crucial thing. I guess before this one, the Diva was probably my favourite horse, but you're going to have to say, you know, Winx is right up. It's not even a horse you can have a bet on because it's way too short. But that's just the opinion. I did see Frankel twice. Frankel was something very, very, very special. But, you know, you'd have to think that would be beautiful, watching Winx and Frankel go at it, but that's not going to happen, is it?
You're lucky, TK. You're the only true international racing analyst of the four of us here.
Probably.
You now cruise the world and everything like that, looking at racing everywhere. We're just battlers here, staying at home, and
yeah.
Get the opportunity to watch these horses on
TV. Yeah, well, I was impressed with California Chrome when it won the Derby, and I was a bit disappointed with the Arc when I was there.
How would she go in an Arc? How would Winx go in an Arc? She'd be very competitive, I would have thought.
Well, super competitive. And I think they're going to travel the horse as well, Ronnie.
Have they come out and said that? When?
Take it as written, Ronnie.
Okay.
Win the third Cox Plate and travel.
Okay.
Why not?
She'll have a good team following her. I'm sure she'll attract a few Aussie supporters wanting to follow her overseas.
Absolutely. Oh, here you go. You must have picked a few winners, TK. You're chirpy. The cooler wasn't on show. for once. Yeah, okay. Well, okay. It was just an enjoyable day. I enjoy watching elite athletes at their very, very best, and that's what we saw on the weekend, despite the heavy track. Can the boys who built the Newcastle track now have a look at the Randwick and Flemington tracks? Job well done, boys. Great work, Dava. Big raps, Dean, and Glenn. I should go to Glenn probably because he's got that experience there up in Newcastle. It was very impressive on Friday.
Yeah, well, TK, and I'm very sort of wary of, you know, new tracks rebuilt. I just cast my mind back to the jockeys that rode on the Kensington track the first day. This is the
best
track
ever.
I've ever ridden on. Well, if they have a look at it now, it's a building site.
Yeah.
So, it's always going to be great the first time you ride on it because it's the first time it's been put under pressure.
Yeah.
It was very good. It's a purpose-built track. that the way that they've done it. And my only concern is going to be, you know, they're building tracks now, they're saying, that can cope with 200 mils of rain and all this sort of thing. But the amount of water that's got to go into them when we don't have rain to keep them to the, you know, to the condition that they are. The other day, Newcastle, I think the main track was a good 4 and the Beaumont track was a heavy 8. That's the difference. But it's going to take an enormous amount of maintenance to keep it in that way. All well and good. And everyone wants to talk about tracks when we have periods like we have at the moment of long periods of rain, the, you know, how they're going to cope with it. Eagle Farm, they wanted to tell you how good it was going to be when they rebuilt it. Well, it's probably a pony shanty of being ripped up. And it's, you know, it's only, you know, less than 12 months old because of, you know, they've got nematodes and they've got the way that they've tried to put nutrients into the soil and everything like that, that's backfired. But, you know, make the analysis after they've been raced on for a few years, not, you know, one meeting. They're always going to be good the first time you ride on
them. Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that's a fair comment, Glenn. But let's hope with you spend $11 million on a track, as they have in Newcastle, let's hope they have done it right. Hello, Tommy. Good morning.
Hey, Terry. Good morning, Glenn and Duff.
Good morning, Tommy.
Duff, on Saturday, Mark Van Gestel told Ryan Moore he wanted to have a chat with him after the last, but Ryan Moore left the course. Have you heard anything more about that?
No, he hadn't left the course. He just went out, I think, into the bar to see some friends or something. I think he come back in to get his gear. They had a chat. There was nothing wrong. There was a minor incident, and I think it was all finished on the day. So
right. No blow
I think up. There was some concern at one stage that he just walked off and disregarded any instructions that they wanted to see him before he left, but that was cleared up.
There you go. Well, that's the Ryan Moore issue. So there you go. Thank you for that.
One race that we're not the wiser with, I think, is the Derby. It's really open.
Oh, really?
What do you say?
Well, did you see Inference on the weekend?
Yeah, he was good, but still, there's opposition there.
Well, of course there is.
The winner went okay.
The winner went good. Conditions to suit.
Yeah, there's a couple of improvers there. You know, the Sosie Bond went good. I thought Anaheim went great. He'll be better on a drier track. But the Derby's, I was thinking Inference was a good thing in the Derby after Randwick Guineas. There's a bit more of a tail to that race now. Impavigo will go better with a set of blinkers on. There's a few more. How good's that horse?
Well, that's good because we'll just get a better price Inference. Yeah.
How good's that horse, Hardham? Is it any good?
He did a good job the other day. I don't know if he really handled the wet when he was up in Sydney.
Yeah, he might
in the Guineas. That'd be the worry.
He's $26, Dina.
We've got Sacred Elixir to come into town as well out of that Derby, who got a long way back. So, and Rising Red, who runs second in that Derby behind Ginger Nuts. So the Derby's looking a lot more open than was before Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn, you got a Derby market there. Ginger Nut's not nominated yet for
the
Derby.
They're going to pay the 44. Yeah,
they'll pay after Saturday. That was, you know, they had an out before Saturday. Mm. They had to see how he was going to cope with the conditions there and whether or not they pressed on. But the Derby market at the moment has Ginger Nuts and Inference equal favourites. It's $4.60. Anaheim's an $8 chance. Prized Icon, well, he'll improve back on top of the ground. Rising Red and Sosie Bond, all $11. And coming through, Impavido, La Bella Diosa and Sacred Elixir at $15, and then it's $26 and longer the rest.
Okay, so you're pulling Inference's tail.
Oh, no, I might end up tipping it. But I might be just trying to get a better price. I don't know what I'm thinking.
It was $6 before Saturday, and now it's $4.60.
I'm up in the air with the race at this stage.
He looks to be a very, very nice horse. Hi, Sean, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Well, thanks.
Mate, Ronnie, I just want to know, I'm sort of like thinking back in Allegria. It just promising everything and does not a lot. Hasn't won for almost 2 years, I think, now. Where do you put it in the whole scheme of things at the moment?
Yeah, look, just at that top level, it's hard to win. She hopped into about fourth spot there on Saturday. It was one of those tracks you've got to be a little forgiving. But look, I thought she had every possible there on Saturday. But like I said, it's one of those tracks we rarely get, and horses could improve out of it, or that could be the end of them this preparation. But she did find the fast lane at a previous start. So, yeah, look, I just think she's around the mark without wanting to tip her at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, agreed.
There you go, Sean. Well done.
As far as Winks goes, why would you travel? I'd just keep it here. Let them come to her.
Because they can. I think, Sean. There's some big races around the world, Hong Kong, Dubai. You know, they can take her and have a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a big risk there across the other side of the world. A lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah, they can. My word. They can. I always think of Saintly, unfortunately, when I think of that, and you know the Japan Cup and the travel sickness, and I think Bart had a real fight on his hands, didn't he, Dufter? And the staff, obviously, to save Saintly.
Yeah, look, it's risky. You get that travel sickness, it's very hard to bounce back from.
Mm. Guys, what's going on with the Godolphin stable? This comes in. Hold on, just let me go back. The page just update. Guys, what's going on with the Godolphin stable? They don't seem to be going very well. Shannon, it goes on, but how are they going? They're going okay, aren't they?
I think so. Look, you can't win everything. I think they had a winner on Saturday, didn't they? Raymond won first up. That was a good effort to win on that track first up. And Hartnell ran well. I thought he'd give too much start there.
Yeah, he had too much to do, mate.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of runners there on Saturday, but, you know, they had a couple of runners in the slipper. Obviously, they've got to be forgiving there. No, as soon as a stable has a week or two without a winner, you know, the punters say they're gone, they're out of form, I don't want to back them. And, you know, it happens with Waller, it happens with Gay, it happens with, it's the old tall poppy, you know. You've got to be winning every meeting to be, you know, the punters wanting to be backing your horses.
Yeah. It's hard when you're 20 lengths off them and you've got a whole stack of good horses in front of you. As a jockey, you're thinking, oh, no, I'll just round these up and go past them. What? I mean, I know you've got to find, your horse has got to find its own feet and its own rhythm and all that, Ronnie. Hmm. But you know what?
No, well, I think in talking about sectionals, I think there was a sectional there for our Ivanhoe that was very relevant with Winks there. I think he had an 11.25 split over the...
It was about 11.8, but...
11.8,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I was still
pretty,
pretty
good.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard when you're giving them, you know, big starts to, on that sort of track to be matching those sort of sectionals.
I mean, you still run home really well and you run a good second and that, but you're still four lengths behind the winner.
Yeah, anyway. I thought he had to make too long a run on him.
Yep, let's keep taking calls.
Is that the run they had to get him back on track, though, because they rode him too close to the run before?
Possibly. But what's he going to get back on track for? You know, like, if he was running next week, I'd say he's going to run really well. But he's going to run into Winks and the Queen Elizabeth. You know, that's his problem.
Oh, second's good money, isn't it?
Yeah, second's great money.
I mean, I think we can say he's back, can't we, Hartnell? You know, he had that one flop. That was a really good run on the weekend, I thought.
He's not in that form of the Turnbull. The runs leading into that last spring.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're all racing for second, aren't they, in the Queen Elizabeth. David, good morning.
Boys. Look, I think one thing Winks has to do, or should do, if she's as great as we think she is, run in the Melbourne Cup and win it. And if she did that, then we'd have to compare her with the greats, like Farlap, because it'll always be one thing that she never won the Melbourne Cup. Well, I think she's got a run in it, and if she wins it, we can start comparing it to.
Are we going to make it a weight for age race? Or?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she should be okay. Let's see if she could carry 59 or 60 in a Melbourne Cup. Then I think we're on. Then I think we've really got an argument.
Such a different race.
The great. She's great up. Has she won anything great? 24, 32. Once she starts winning over those distances, then absolutely we can start talking about it.
Dina.
No, I couldn't disagree more. I mean, she doesn't. If that's not her specialty, that's not her specialty.
Well, I mean, but that's the one thing we'll be against, because Farlap did win over 2 miles. He could do everything.
Yeah, he didn't beat the world.
It's a long time ago.
True.
And the world's just changed so much, David. And David, I did have this conversation with Chris Waller on Melbourne Cup Day 2016.
Yeah.
Right? At Flemington. Look, she could win the Melbourne Cup.
Then why not run her?
Well, but what would it do to her? You know, recollections of the conversation is, yes, she could win, depending on how kind the handicap was to her. She would get the 2 miles, but would I have a completely busted horse after it?
No, he wouldn't.
Well, his opinion was
other horses have won and they haven't been busted. I think it's just an issue.
But that's their comfort zone. The 3,200 metres is their comfort zone, where she'd be completely out of a comfort zone and be asked to carry a massive weight.
Well, I mean, other horses. I mean, King's Attack can run over any distance.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Kingstown, he could win White Fraser over 1,200 and then win White Fraser over 2,400 and still be odds on favourite.
I think racing's more competitive now than it was then.
Treatment's different. Steroid free.
You know, those horses could get through runs in those days with the drugs, and now we're so harsh on drugs to help these horses get through runs and help them back up week to week. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different level of playing field.
Well, look, if she's that great, well, I mean, I think we.
How many European stayers did Farlap come up against?
Well, the one thing is the reason the European stays are so good over here is because we've weakened our staying ranks so much. You can't deny that the European, our staying horses are nowhere near as strong as they used to be.
No, I can't argue against that.
Yeah, you cannot argue that the standard of our stayers is a disgrace. You can't deny that from what they were. It's gone backwards.
Yeah, that's right. But the standard of the stayer we're getting in the Melbourne Cup now is far better than it used to be.
Yeah, but not. That's only because our local horses are so bad. If our standard was increased and we put more focus on staying races, I don't think the European horses would be as successful.
Yeah, well, it's a good debate, David.
No, I'm absolutely right. I mean,
I don't know whether you are absolutely right, but I said it's a good debate.
It's an absolute disgrace that European horses can come out here with one or two runs and win our big races and dominate it. I think that's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Well, it says something about our staying industry.
Well, we don't have a breeding staying industry, really.
Well,
we've got a sprinting staying industry. That's just the fact.
His son was saying it was a disgrace what they've done to our staying industry. It's a disgrace. The standard of our stays is absolutely appalling. Everyone in the industry should be ashamed of it.
There you go.
You should be ashamed of it, Duff, that we produce such terrible stayers.
Well, it's not his fault.
As an owner or breeder or an owner, I don't want to buy a stayer.
Well, I don't want to buy a stayer either, Dave.
I don't want to be paying up for a horse with the exorbitant training fees these days for 4 years to find us out it's no good.
That's right. It needs more time.
I'd rather buy something a little bit more precocious and say after 2 years, okay, well, I don't think it's up to the mark. Let's move it on and try again.
Or let them pre-train in Europe and buy them from there.
Or let me buy one from Europe. I think we're importing a lot of nice staying horses. Maybe that'll help. You know,
we used to do it from New Zealand, but they changed their breeding industry. Now we go to Europe.
And Glenn, at least you never got blamed for it.
No, I'm waiting.
Good on you, Dave. You've sparked a conversation. There's plenty of people in your corner, by the way. But that's just the way it is, I think. It's a long time since we've had a... When was the last time we had a powerful staying industry?
Well, I remember Coolmore bought Galileo out. No one would send a mare to him.
The last two Melbourne Cup winners have been Australian prepared, so that's...
We're still
competing.
Once you buy them and bring them into Australia, they're Australian horses. You know, they're trained here. They're promoting our owners, our industry, and I think we've got a.
We don't say that. I don't think people in the UK were saying our sprinting ranks are a disgrace and our stud industry is a disgrace when Takeover Target and we're going over there and tallying them up down the straight at Royal Ascot.
We've got enough of these staying stallions. We get a lot more than usual at stud now. Let's see if they get any support. The Americanes and the Shockings, he's doing a good job, and a few others around the place.
I've got used to racing being a global industry.
I don't mind it. Look, instead of spending, 100, 200 grand on a staying yearling, I'd probably like to spend that 200 better overseas at a sale than a horse that's showing won a maiden at Ascot or somewhere. I don't know. Bring your stayers in, I say.
Well, there you go. 13:53:53. Good on you, David. Long Shot King, good morning, buddy.
Hi, boys.
I hope you had some luck, Long Shot King.
Oh, mate, I was on Minari, so no good.
Oh.
Mate, I just want to say Hootson was the ultimate false favourite. I was telling everybody that wanted to listen, I put the pen through him weeks ago. And Queensland form, he lumped 63 kilos with a 55-year-old jockey racing C graders.
Yeah, but he won the Magic Millions, don't forget, in January.
Yeah.
But that's a restricted race, so he was always going to have to be better. But three horses have done it before, and plenty of MM winners have actually come out and run more than credible races without winning the Golden Slipper.
Sure. I just want to ask Ronnie, did he back our Ivanhoe with the bar plate?
Ivanhoe.
No, we're off. they were off. He didn't have bar plates on, I don't think. He had normal plates for the first time. I should have backed him there. Long shot.
I was on him, mate.
Good on you. Good on you.
Good on you, brother.
Right, just back to that slipper. You know, like, it's a bit harsh on Hudson to bag her on her first defeat on a track.
On a bottomless track.
She's run fifth.
Yeah.
And I thought Tulip and Minari were absolutely sensational in that race.
Tulip was a huge run.
Yeah. No disrespect to She Will Reign, but Tulip. You know, could wide, no sure. cover, and should have fought the finish out.
Interesting
sure.
point out of the last two slippers, hearing that gentleman there talk about Hootson being a false favourite.
Long shot king.
3 weeks before the slipper last year, Capitalist was a 6-4 chance, a $2.50 chance. It was beaten as a $1.30 chance in a field of four at Randwick. 3 weeks later, he comes out and wins the slipper as a $10 chance. This year, She Will Reign was a $2.80 favourite 3 weeks before the slipper. $2.80 for the slipper. Was beaten as a $1.30 chance in a race at Randwick. She comes out and wins the slipper as an $8.50 chance. The SP profile people have had an absolute beano the last 2 years because the horses that will frolic only confirmed the form of what She Will Reign did at Randwick. They've run 1-2 in the slipper out of that race there. So
Minari was a bit like that, running, you know, though he ran fourth, but he was favourite he could have got $31 or it was like Minari, who was right in market to one bad run.
What did you make of the protest fourth against third? A couple of people here on text message aren't too happy about it, quite clearly, everyone, as we do.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with it, speaking through your pockets.
They upheld race one. They had to uphold that.
That's certainly to be upheld.
That's the point. If you take that as a rule of thumb, the first, they probably had to stick solid there and be a little bit consistent.
Both margins of a short half hit, so it was only a matter of, you know, it's only going to cost you half a stride and you're going to be upheld.
Is Munsey a staff member short after $15 went up Russian Revolution last Monday? Barnaby. Did it really?
Yep.
Jeez.
I tell you,
I was happy with 340.
What about the yard watches, Russian Revolution and Pomelo? Russian Revolution, I thought he'd been in a shampoo through a car wash.
Then he cast a plate, didn't he? Behind the
He cast a plate on the way to the barrel. Yeah. Twisted a plate, actually.
Twisted one.
And hardly got a charm run. That horse has taken the next step.
It was three wide. Yeah, it was a tough run and kept coming. Oh. I had a bloke sitting two seats in front of me. Went the early crow with about 300 out. I thought, this is bad news here. Anyway, kept coming.
You know from experience.
It was a strong effort. That was the protest. We've covered that one. We're going to keep taking your calls on 13 53 53. We need a wonderful... look at the time.
Time's flown, TK.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We're going for 2 hours there. I
may as well stay on
Jono's
all day.
Jono's hungry. He's got to go home.
Jeez. I've only done 5 hours of radio. He is hungry too.
No, you've been there for 5 hours.
Yeah, okay. He's eating his arm. Now, Glenn, before you start on me, one to follow, please.
Oh, I just stay on the back of Tulip. I thought she went sensational in the slipper. I did think she'd win the slipper. And, you know, with a better run, I think she would have won the slipper.
Be interesting to see how tired the horses who raced yesterday will be at their next start. Who have you got, Duff? One to follow?
The two horses that got hot, Russian Revolution, he's as good as all those 3-year-olds.
Stick with him.
Come back. He's come back where a couple of them haven't. And same with Pomelo. She's a good mare. Okay. She's a good mare.
All right.
She's favourite for the provincial.
She'll be competitive in that, and I think later on she's going to be a black type mare. I like her style.
Dino, you got one?
Merriest from Saturday. Had trialled really well, but don't think it handled the straight second time. She's just been fair down the straight. She'll bounce back next time.
Quick one for me. Do we stick with Verstappen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he probably just needed something to cart him into the race that day. Get a little bit lost, I think. He's a nice horse.